I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. As part of the Secret Recordings Network, we're across all the socials, Facebook, X, Instagram, at Pod Magical. Give us a like, give us a follow. If you'd like to be a podcast guest, send me a message. I'd love to, if you're going for Christmas, by the way, to any of the Christmas parties, I'd love to try and get you on before the end of the year. I know it's going to be a bit of a squeeze because they start like mid-November and the podcast for the year will end mid-December, so we've only got a few. But if you go into like one of the early parties, especially Jollywood nights, I'd love to get you on and chat about it. So give me a shout. Same place to go if you have any questions, any planning questions. Hello to Andrew. Oh, hello, Andrew. Like for like. Wants to know, is it possible to do four parks in one day? We will be in Florida for a cruise and we have an entire day free. Is it possible to do all four Disney parks? And where can we get a ticket? Because we can only find the 14-day ones. Firstly, to get a ticket, you probably need to go to an American website like Theme Park Frog. I think you can buy a one-day ticket. Make sure you got your park hopper. Can you do four parks in one day? Depends when you go. If you go in this year, I'd say no, it's a bit of a stretch because you can only park hop after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you're going to have to go to one park, and you're going to have to stay there till two and then do the other three parks after two in the afternoon. So it's going to be really tricky. However, from early January, I think it's January the 9th, park hopping has been lifted. You can go whenever you want. You can go into one park at 8:30 and you can walk out the other door and go to another park at like 9:15 if you want to. In that case, yes, you probably can do four parks in one day. I say probably can. I've done it. The best way to do it is, well, have a look which park opens earliest. Usually Animal Kingdom, you want to start there, and find out which park closes last and latest, usually Magic Kingdom, so you want to end there. So you probably do, this is the way I would do it, I would go Animal Kingdom first thing, rope drop Flight of Passage if you want, get straight in there, have your hour or two in Animal Kingdom, then get the bus over to our Hollywood Studios. I don't know how many attractions you can get on in Hollywood Studios because they're always really busy. But you can then walk from Hollywood Studios to Epcot, have a few hours in Epcot, get the monorail from Epcot to Magic Kingdom, and you're not in Magic Kingdom with some fireworks. You will be absolutely knackered, but it is possible from January when the park hopping restrictions after two have gone. Thank goodness. Any questions? Pod Magical on the socials. Got some news about Enchantment coming back to Magic Kingdom. Have you heard about this? I'll tell you about that later on. We'll get you some top tips. We'll find out what's gone at Disney World. But right now, it is time to chat Disney World with this episode's guest, Ian. Let's catch up with Ian on the podcast right now. He's been to Disney World quite a few times. And last time, he even stayed at Universal. But we'll ask him about that. Ian, tell me why you love Walt Disney World. What makes you keep going back?
So, Andy, I think Disney World is the best family holiday that you can possibly have. I don't think there's anywhere else in the world where you can have so many activities that looks after so many different ages and types of preferences. And then everybody comes off the attraction saying, wow, that was absolutely amazing. It's that buzz of excitement after an attraction or a ride that makes us come back time and time again.
Sounds like you've converted your entire family, or have they converted you?
I'm doing my best. I'd say we were kind of three out of the four.
Right.
The last one's coming reluctantly.
So who's in your family then? Who have you been with recently?
So it's myself and my wife, and I've got two daughters at secondary school.
Right. Okay. Then. So they're a good age to like still want to go to Disney World, but maybe not an age to want to go on holiday with mum and dad.
So it depends where you're going, doesn't it? So yeah. They're quite happy to go if it's going to be good, and they're not paying for anything, so they're quite happy with that. It's been great. As the kids have got older, we've done less of kind of princess stuff and more of the bigger rides, and so the parks kind of grow with you as well, and that's just fantastic.
So when was the first time you went, Ian?
So we went as a family. I think the first time was probably about 11 years ago. We did Disney World just before my eldest went to primary school. So sort of you want to do an off-peak holiday before you get stuck into the school holidays. Mm. And that's what we did then. But we only really did a little bit. We did Magic Kingdom a couple of times. I think Hollywood Studios, bit of time at SeaWorld as well. So it was really just a trial, but it just sort of snowballed after that.
So you've only ever been as the four of you. You've always gone as a family. You didn't go before they were born or anything. It's just always been you four.
No, so I did go with my parents when I was 18, which unfortunately is a very long time ago now. But that was mainly Universal, Wet and Wild, that sort of stuff. It was mainly kind of rides based. I was 18, my brother was 16, so we sort of stayed away more from the Disney stuff and did the bigger rides.
What do you actually remember about the first time you went there then? What was that then?
The only thing I can really remember is being stood on the top of a water slide at Wet n Wild, as it was then, about 10 o'clock at night. Because I think you got into the park for a lower price at, I think it was about sort of 6 o'clock. Both me and my brother were quite active. So my parents would kind of chuck us into there. They'd go and sit down and have a drink somewhere. We'd charge around. So stood at the top of this ride, really high up at 10 o'clock at night, dead warm. It was really quiet, just thinking, this is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, living your best life. I remember Wet n Wild. That's where the new Universal hotels are now, isn't it? Aren't they out there?
I think it's across of Cabana, isn't it? And Volcano Bay. I think that's the same site.
So that trip then, was that an international drive stay?
Oh, blimey, you're taking me back now. I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think we had a bit on international drive, and then we went over to the Gulf Coast for a week as well.
All right, then. Two centre. Well, this trip you've just been on, you stayed at quite a few places, didn't you? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we had a villa just outside Disney for 14 nights. But whilst we were there, we did a couple of nights at Animal Kingdom Lodge as a treat for us all. And then after that, we went to the enemy. So we went to Universal and had four nights at Hard Rock as well.
Now, there was an intentional reason you stayed at Hard Rock. What was that?
Yeah, so two big reasons for Hard Rock. You get the Express Pass as part of your room, and the Express Pass covers your day of arrival and day of departure. And it's way, way cheaper just to stay there than it is to pay for the Express Pass. So you don't always go straight to the front of the line, but I think the most that we waited was about 30 minutes.
Right.
And I think on Hulk it was about 30 seconds.
It's
absolutely brilliant. And so it makes the planning side of it really easy, because you know you don't have to kind of schedule everything in. You just sort of say, well, I would like to do this now, so you go for it. The exception is Hagrid's, which isn't on Express Pass, but even Velocicoaster's on there as well now. So yeah, and anything less than 30 minutes, it's just really easy. And the other massive benefit with Hard Rock is it's at worst a 10-minute walk to the parks, which is brilliant.
So was it four nights you say you stayed at Universal?
Yes, that's right.
So for 5 days you had the Express Pass?
That's right.
All right. And did you go to Universal for all five of those days, or did you use it as like a SeaWorld day or a shopping day, or did you go, right, we're going to go hard on Universal?
No, we went big on Universal. So we had like a pot a day to start us off with, and the kids did all the spells and all that sort of stuff. Then we had a roller coaster day, which was brilliant fun, but I properly needed a rest after that. I felt like I'd been shaken to my core. So outstanding fun, but those rides are really quick. Then we had a Volcano Bay day, and then the kind of last day we sort of did a like a best of list between us all
Yeah.
and just picked our favorite rides off, which was a really nice way to finish it off.
I've often wondered with the Universal Express Pass, where if you have it for one day, you can pretty much do everything in the two parks in that one day. Because it's not like Genie Plus, where you kind of like you stack in and wait, and you can go from one ride to another and just pretty much walk on, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. So you could kind of cram it all in. I mean, you'd have to. I mean, probably take some travel sickness pills before you did it, just to make sure you got through the day. And I think if you were a bit more selective about the rides, some of the rides are quite similar. So if you've done Spider-Man, you probably don't need to do Transformers or Jimmy Fallon and Fast and Furious. So some of the rides are quite repetitive. If you cut those out, then definitely. But it wouldn't give you much time to really experience the Wizarding World. That's a lot more like, say, Galaxy's Edge, where you want to spend some time in the land just kind of soaking it all up. Is it really is that they've done an impressive job.
Yeah, especially if you've got a Harry Potter fan with you and they want to get the wand and do all this stuff. Yeah, you're going to spend hours in there. And then obviously you
That's
need to
right.
get the Hogwarts Express to go backwards and forwards, because that is part of the experience, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. And fair play to us, we were there in August. It was pretty warm, and there's some kids in there with their cloaks on, and they've got hats and scarves on, and you've got to admire them for that. That's an
Yeah.
impressive effort.
It's like 100 degrees with
That's
100% humidity. Go, what are you
right.
thinking about? You crazy muggle.
That's right. Just see them melting.
So you sound like you're just as big a Universal fan as you are a Disney fan.
Actually, it was quite interesting. So I expected us to finish the holiday, and everybody's saying that it was Universal from now on and not Disney, but it hasn't been that way at all. We are quite a big roller coaster family, and the roller coasters there are absolutely outstanding. But I think when we go, I say when we go back, I think we would still do more Disney than Universal. There's something about the Disney parks and the kind of the experience of being in them that you don't get quite as much at Universal, I don't think.
So where did you stay at Disney then? He said so it was 4 nights at Hard Rock and some nights at Disney.
Yeah, so 2 nights at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Savannah View.
So, due to the cost, we went for a standard view, but I put on our room request partial Savannah room preferred. So, which is what we got. So we were quite lucky. We got quite a decent view, because the price markup from a standard to a Savannah is quite a kick.
So, pretty decent view of the animals then, even from your room.
Yeah, so decent view of the animals from the room, and I think the other thing I'd say as well is that there's so many lovely spots to sit and watch the animals. Some of the great lookout places. I'm normally up first in the morning, so it was quite a nice treat to nip out and get a coffee and just sit and watch the giraffes have the breakfast in the morning. That was a very, very nice way to start the day.
How long did you actually spend in the resort? Did you make sure that you're going, right, we're going to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, so actually we're not going to go to the parks and we're just going to appreciate the resort itself? Or did you use it as a base still?
No, so we tried to do it. So, to be honest, Andy, I would have quite liked to have just battered it constantly. But we did the evening magic hours on a Wednesday night, and so we had a resort day that day before we went in, because we being able to be in Magic Kingdom till after, well, basically up to midnight. I thought if we rope dropped as well, my popularity might decrease quite significantly.
That's a really good idea, because if you're paying for the price for Animal Kingdom Lodge, you can spend the day, appreciate the resort, and then you've got the deluxe, because it's a deluxe resort, you've got those extra couple of hours at night. And it really is like, especially as the second hour, it really is like having the whole park to yourself, isn't it?
It is. And when you walk out of the park and the castle's all lit up and there's not many people around, it's a really, really nice experience. And you're absolutely Animal Kingdom Lodge is a great place to chill out in. The theming there is absolutely fantastic, quite subtle. So you've got to kind of look for it, but it's a really, really nice place to spend some time. And when you're spending all that money on a deluxe resort, then you definitely want to make the most of it.
Sounds like you planned it really well.
I do quite like the planning.
Yeah.
My kids think that I like the planning sometimes more than the actual holiday itself, which is not 100% true, but not that far off the truth.
I'm the same. It's the journey and then the destination. Did you plan
That's right.
You were going to be at Animal Kingdom the night of the extended hours for deluxe resort guests?
Yes,
it was all part of the plan.
Yeah, it was all part of the plan. So I was debating whether to do Tuesday and Wednesday or Wednesday and Thursday. So we went for Tuesday, Wednesday in the end. And it was a surprise for the kids. They didn't know that we were going. So we did Animal Kingdom in the morning before we checked into the lodge that night. And I told them actually when we were in Nomad Lounge. So that was quite a nice surprise.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Very nice indeed. Because sometimes it depends on when the deluxe hours fall, because sometimes it used to be, was it Monday at Epcot and then Wednesday at Magic Kingdom? Because sometimes if you stay the Monday night and the Tuesday night, you'll check out on the Wednesday, but you can still get into the park on the Wednesday night as a deluxe guest. Sometimes you can do it that way, but it depends what nights, especially at the minute with Halloween parties and Christmas parties, they're here, there and everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And I think it is a bit of a gamble because they don't really tell you how long it's going to last for. I'd booked the room before we were absolutely sure that it would be on the Wednesday night. And you're right, Magic Kingdom's difficult with the Halloween parties. I mean, we landed on the 11th of August. I think the first Halloween party was either that night or the night before. Mm. It's crazy how early it starts.
Yes. It'd be Christmas before you know it as well.
That's right.
You stayed at other Disney resorts as well over your times.
No, we haven't done that. That was our first time, and we really enjoyed it. We would definitely do it again. I'm just not completely convinced that 2 weeks, the four of us in one room, I'm not convinced all four would come out in the same way that all four entered. So that's the bit that's put me off a little bit.
Yeah, especially with girls that age, who are they
that's
tidy
right.
or are they not tidy?
Not brilliant.
Okay.
I think we'd have to be somewhere with a balcony because I'd probably be out there most of the time.
Do you have a particular favourite Disney hotel, though? Even though you've not stayed, you go, oh, I really would love to stay there.
So outside, Animal Kingdom was definitely our first pick. I would quite like to stay at the Polynesian. Mm. I think there's something about being able to wander out onto the beach and watch the fireworks. I think that would be pretty cool, and such close proximity to Magic Kingdom is obviously really appealing. But I didn't quite appreciate how close it is to the TTC as well. So it's amazing how they've packed everything in. It's such a small space.
Yeah, definitely. Ian's with us on the podcast. We're going to talk about some of your favourite Disney World things in a moment, Ian. Back with Ian in just a moment. Let's get you a news update. Everything that's been going on or announced from Walt Disney World. There's been a lot of Christmas news if you're going to be going over for the festive period, which is now upon us. Really from November the 11th is when Christmas really starts to kick in at most of the parks. Epcot's a little bit later. That's usually after Thanksgiving. But there is a very special, exclusive hard ticket event happening at Hollywood Studios. So as well as the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party over at Magic Kingdom, we've got Jollywood Nights at Hollywood Studios. We've got a few more details about Jollywood Nights, a swanky Hollywood party filmed with merriment, music and spirited good times. There's a special show which is going to be on at where you would see the Beauty and the Beast show, and that's got Mickey and Minnie and Kermit and Miss Piggy. There's also a special soiree happening over at the Hollywood Tower of Terror in the event there. Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam is going to be back. There's a sing-along with the Nightmare Before Christmas. So lots going on at Hollywood Studios for their Christmas event, which starts in a few nights' time. If you're going, let me know. We'll try and get you on. I'd love to try and get you on. Also, we have more details about Disney After Hours. They will be returning next year from January. Magic Kingdom, Epcot and Hollywood Studios. Again, these are hard ticket events. After park hours, after the park closes, you can get back in. You'll have the parks to yourself for a couple of hours. I want to say to yourself, I've done a few of these and they are really quiet. If you want to have the park like the old times where you can just walk on and off rides, even like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you really can. There's not a lot of tickets available for these nights, so you really have the park to yourselves. And also, if you are going to the one at Magic Kingdom, you're going to get enchantment. You remember the fireworks that replaced Happily Ever After and then Happily Ever After came back. Well, Enchantment is going to be shown at the Magic Kingdom After Hours events. So if you're early to the parks, you'll still get to see Happily Ever After at the regular time. And then in the exclusive After Hours event later on in the evening, you'll get to see Enchantment as well. Pretty good, eh? Prices range between $155 and $175 plus tax. That's for the Magic Kingdom ones, and Hollywood Studios Epcot After Hours tickets go from $149 to $159. You'll probably have to get a VPN to get those or call them, because it's always difficult booking them in the UK. And we have news from Epcot. Get your paint butchers ready. The Epcot International Festival of the Arts is back January the 12th. I think it's on for about 5 weeks. There are food booths, there's live performances, there's painting. It's really what Epcot's about. It's one of my favourite Epcot festivals, but I say that for all of them. Any news between now and the next podcast? At Pod Magical is where we are. Give us a follow. Ian on the podcast. I haven't even really got into your favourite Disney things. So let's start up with your favourite attraction at Disney World. What okay. is it?
So I'm going to go for a slightly unusual Andy one here. So bear with me. It's the Tree of Life.
Okay, which
annoys, obviously, like Rise of the Resistance, Flight of Passage, they're all absolutely brilliant. But the Tree of Life, I think, is massively underrated. If you spend some time kind of looking at it, how they've put it together, the carvings of the animals are absolutely incredible. And the other thing that makes it my favorite attraction is, if you do the walking trails in front and behind of the tree, you're on your own.
Yeah,
there's nobody else there, and there's very few places in Disney World where you can have when you can do it just on your own. And we've done it at peak times. This isn't just a first thing in the morning or last thing at night thing. There's nobody there, so to be able to experience that just with you and your family, it's brilliant. So nice around there. I think if there was a queue or you had to get a boarding group, loads of people would do it. But because there isn't, I think it's massively overlooked.
Yeah, you're right. They could hype it up, going, "Oh, you got get." Lightning Lane now to walk around the Tree of Life, and suddenly people would be interested. But you're right, you can do a few hours in the morning, do the rope drop, get on all the rides, and then just like late morning, early afternoon, just it's like a complete escape, isn't it?
It is. And so it's hard to get that sort of serenity in a Disney park. You almost wouldn't believe you're in a Disney park when you're around there. And if there's any sort of Jurassic Park fans, you can see the quite aggressive dinosaur on there that spits the venom. That's kind of round the back of the tree. That's always worth looking out for.
And what about food, places to eat?
So we were pretty lucky. We did some really, really nice places. I'd have to give a very honourable mention to Homecoming, that there's something about being able to eat donuts legitimately as part of a main meal that's hard to get past. But also you sort of need to go with your own wheelbarrow, because by the time you walk out of there, it's just, you've just eaten so much food.
Oh, yeah.
But really, really, really enjoyed Homecoming. I think the best place that we ate at was Boma. I know it's a buffet and that's kind of got different connotations, but the food quality at Boma was absolutely out of this world. Just everything was magnificent. We'd been at Sanaa the night before, which was good, but Boma was just incredible.
What kind of stuff do they have on the buffet there at Boma? This is at Animal Kingdom Lodge, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So there's kind of a curry section, which we actually avoided because we'd had curry at Sanaa the night before. But if you're a meat fan, it was just absolutely amazing. So I think I had ribs, beef, chicken. Actually, the salmon was pretty good as well. And actually, I was trying to wait. This doesn't sound like it, but I was trying to eat not that much. And then I was walking past and there was a guy who was kind of carving the beef. He asked me if I wanted any. I said, "Oh, no, mate, I've got loads." He just carved a bit off, looked at me and said, "Are you sure?"
But you can't say no to that, can you? He knows.
That's right. And he was absolutely right. So, and they also do like a coconut rice, which is fantastic as well. And I pretty much just took the view that I'd eat anything I'd never heard of before. So lots of different kind of different vegetables that were sort of cooked in slightly different ways and all that sort of stuff. But the food quality was just absolutely outstanding. It was brilliant.
Yeah, you've got to try. And did you book, you say you did Boma and Sanaa, I'm assuming you booked those when you were doing your stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Yeah, but actually, I looked a couple of times whilst we were there. I don't think they're desperately hard ADRs to get.
Yeah. So sometimes the ones out at the resort, because Animal Kingdom Lodge is a little bit tricky to get to, isn't it? Especially if you're not staying there.
It is. So I think if you're off site and you've got a car, it's dead easy.
Yeah.
It has the reputation of being a long way away, but I mean it isn't really. Not in terms of miles. It's really not worth worrying about.
And what about the bread service at Sanaa? Did it live up to the hype?
It disappeared so quickly. It was just incredible. So yeah, it absolutely it is really hyped up, isn't it, the bread service?
Yeah.
But it absolutely delivered 100%.
And what about places to eat at Universal as you were there for like 4 or 5 days? Were there any good places to eat over there?
So I'd say in the parks generally, with the exception of the Today Cafe, it was pretty poor. Today Cafe was really good, actually. We really enjoyed that. But City Walk was excellent.
Yeah.
So we ate at Cowfish, Margaritaville and Toothsome, all of which were absolutely outstanding. If you are going to have the Toothsome milkshake, I'd probably not actually have a meal before you do, or maybe just have water, because we only got through half of them and we shared them as well after having a burger before. So a City Walk I thought was really good.
I can't believe you had in that heat a burger and then the milkshake, which usually comes with a massive cake on top, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah. And it's called the Tour de France burger, which I basically got because I'm a cycling fan.
Right.
But you get a slice of brie and an egg on top of your burger. I think it's with bacon as well. And I know it doesn't sound like it would work, but honestly, it was fantastic.
Well, people wouldn't say that chicken and donuts would work, but it does over at Homecoming.
Absolutely. You can't say you don't like it until you've tried
it. Yeah. And thank goodness we're doing all those steps around the parks when we're over there, because goodness knows what size we'd be when we came back from Florida.
That's right.
Incredible. Have you got any guilty pleasures when you're over at Disney World? Any rides that you know, we can talk about it here in our safe space that people will mock you?
Yeah. So despite being a middle-aged man, I would have to say that Sing Along with Frozen is excellent.
Do you sing along, Ian?
Absolutely, you've got to go full gas, haven't you? You've got to go all in. But the way that the narrators do it is just absolutely brilliant. It didn't happen this time, but on a previous time we were there, a gentleman near the front fell asleep.
How could he fall asleep during that show?
Long day, bit of aircon. He'd obviously got too much for him. God love him.
Mind you, if it had a long day, the parks.
And it's quite a comfy seat as well, so it's not to be sniffed at. But
yeah.
They basically woke him up and just rinsed him for the rest of the show. It was absolute dynamite. I don't know how they must have been completely off script. So
yeah.
That was a real highlight. That poor chap got absolutely roasted.
Is that your fact? I've not asked you what your favourite Disney World memory is, having been a few times. What's that one memory that always lives in your heart?
Yeah, so I've probably got two, if that's okay. One sort of with each child from when they were younger. For the eldest, she was a little bit apprehensive meeting the characters to start with, but we went to is it a sideshow? Oh, what's it called in Fantasyland where you meet Daisy?
Pete's Silly Sideshow.
That's it. That's right. Which is intended to be quite good for cues. So she met Daisy and quite enjoyed that. She had a big smile on her face. And then the cast member said, all right, it's your turn to meet Minnie now, because you go sort of straight across. And she turned to see Minnie. And I can only imagine she just got the most enormous, like, adrenaline and excitement rush. And she just ran at Minnie Mouse and jumped into it. And Minnie Mouse is excellent at catching small children. it must be part of the job description. So
yeah.
So I was desperately trying to apologize to Minnie Mouse as my daughter's tried to like body slam her. But seeing her just diving to Minnie Mouse was great fun. And then for the younger child, she's pretty good, actually quite tall for her age. She's quite good at getting on rides. But she'd always said that she didn't want to do dark rides.
Right.
Which I thought was absolutely fine, except for the fact that I really wanted to do Rock and Roller Coaster.
Okay.
So, as all good parents do, I decided to lie flat out.
Oh no!
So I told her it wasn't a dark ride;
oh,
it was
dear.
Like test track. So it would start dark, but then be okay, on the basis that by the time it's kicked off at like 60 miles an hour, it's sort of done. Then, isn't it?
You've no choice. So,
that's right. So it was quite high risk. And I was sat there. We sat there in the car. I'm holding her hand as we go. It's not going to be dark all the way around, Dad, is it? No, no, pet. No, no, it's going to be fine. And then obviously it just kicks, And we came and I looked at her after we'd finished, and she had the biggest smile on her
face. Really?
Yeah, she was absolutely bouncing. So as I say, I was nervous about it. I'm not suggesting that was the best form of parenting I've ever done, but it worked. It was absolutely brilliant.
The gamble paid off. Good job.
It did pay off.
So have you got another trip booked soon then? I know you've only just come back really, but you're thinking about the next
one? So negotiations have started. It's always worth playing the long game, isn't it? I'd like to get to Paris. We went a few years ago, but just before Avengers Campus opened. So I've not seen Avengers Campus. So I'd like to see that. I think it'll be a few more years before we go back to Disney World. It'd be really nice if they added a few more rides and lands and stuff like that. It's been, because of COVID, it's been 5 years since our last visit. So half of Hollywood Studios was new, you know, Guardians was new and Tron. So there's a ton of new stuff this time. It'd be nice to add a few more new bits before we go back to Florida.
It is nice having that 5 year gap. I know it's hard to have a 5 year gap.
It is hard.
But when you can go back, do your favourite things and have a lot of new stuff to look forward to, even if it's just like somewhere new to eat, it does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it definitely takes the excitement up a notch, doesn't it? I mean, it wasn't supposed to be a 5 year gap; it was supposed to be a 3 year gap. Obviously, COVID sort of got in the way. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Just does give you that little bit extra.
Going to give you your perfect day at Walt Disney World, Ian. You can do what you want, stay where you want, walk around the Tree of Life as many times as you like. What are you doing with your perfect Disney day?
So what I've tried to do with this, Andy, is I've tried to make a day that's very achievable.
Yeah.
So I think you can do this day and it still be absolutely fantastic.
Okay.
So I would start in the morning at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Right.
Definitely having a coffee, watching the giraffes have the breakfast, not to be knocked. Quick breakfast in the room and then rope drop for Animal Kingdom.
Okay. And where are you heading to first?
You've just got to follow the crowds. You don't even really need to walk because kind of the tidal wave that goes towards Flight of Passage will carry you there. So get onto Flight of Passage as quickly as you can. An absolutely brilliant ride that I think everybody will enjoy. From Flight of Passage, I will go to the safaris in Africa. Should be quite a short queue at that point as well. So that'd be a nice one to do quite quickly. And then onto Everest as well, straight after that. So you've got three big rides done really, really quickly.
And you're walking around in a circle there as well. You're not coming back on yourself. That's good.
You are. That's absolutely right. We're now about to go back on ourselves to do the Gorilla Falls Trail. Again, vastly underrated. The walking trails are really, 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 really impressive. The gorillas are superb. On your way back to do you should be ready for the first Lion King show. You'll need a bit of a sit down after tracking backwards and forwards, aircon as well to cool off a little bit, and a really, really good fun show, about half an hour, I think. Great, great fun for everybody. Lots of energy and excitement. Really, really, really good fun.
Are you eating yet at any point? I think you've only had a coffee so far, haven't you?
That's right. So we'll leave the Lion King show.
Yeah.
Do the highlight. Get yourself around the Tree of Life as many times as you can muster.
Okay.
And then whilst you're doing that, order your dinner or lunch if you're from the south, from Satouli Canteen. So make sure you get your slot booked for Satouli.
Yeah, what are you having from there?
So the kids would have burger pods. I'm on the rice balls.
Okay.
The rice balls are excellent.
Yeah.
On your way to Satouli Canteen, stop in at Nomad Lounge. And get yourself on the guest list.
Yes.
So you should be able to do Satouli Canteen. Don't have dessert at Satouli. We'll do that at Nomad Lounge. Bit of an explore around Pandora. And then you should hopefully get pinged ready to go to Nomad Lounge.
Nice.
So Nomad Lounge is amazingly serene and quiet. It's incredible
Beautiful.
How close it is to the park. But it's so nice. Also quite some nice adult beverages in there as well. So it's definitely a place for a decent beer because it's not an easy thing to find a decent beer in Disney World, but it's pretty good in there. And the churros are excellent. I say they're excellent. I never actually got to taste one because they disappeared before I could get hold of them. But I'm reliably informed they're excellent.
Vegan churros as well in there, and a lovely place to watch the characters come past sometimes on the little boats.
Absolutely, it is really, really well worth it. You might think that sort of sitting around for a bit is wasting time,
no.
But such a lovely experience in there. And you know, you've charged around in the morning, done the trails and the rides. You've earned a quiet beer sitting out there and watching the world go by.
What time of day is it now, Ian? Early afternoon?
Just early afternoon, and I would then leave Animal Kingdom and go back to your accommodation, have a swim, bit of a chill out. If you're the person who carries a rucksack, it's definitely time for a shower and a change of t-shirt.
Yeah.
So bit of a sleep as well, get everybody recharged, and then we're off to Hollywood Studios. So you have to do a bit of homework in advance. So I would book a lightning lane for Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah.
And also book a Fantasmic dining package for one of the Fantasmic restaurants.
Good plan.
Really, because it's just a great time saver. We've done Mama Melrose a few times. It's not especially fancy, but it's really nice food, and the portions are enormous.
Right.
So definitely don't eat before you go into somewhere like that. If you do have a bit of extra time, again, another one for the beer fans, but Baseline is always worth a look as well. Excellent people watching from Baseline Tap House.
Nice.
So have your evening meal at Mama Melrose and then straight into Galaxy's Edge and spend as much time as you can in Galaxy's Edge. They've done an incredible job with that land. Even if you're not a Star Wars fan, the way that they've managed to put the land together, it genuinely doesn't even feel like you're in a theme park. It's just fantastic. So wander around, get some pictures with the Millennium Falcon, go and see the dark side, see what they're up to, and then jump on Rise of the Resistance as well, which is just the way that they tell the story through Rise of Resistance is absolutely brilliant. It's like nothing else. So I'd highly recommend doing Rise, and you've splurged a little bit for the lightning lane, but it just gives you the predictability from the planning. And once you've done all your time in Galaxy's Edge, it's not been the biggest kind of Disney day, and that's what Fantasmic gives you at the end. I think Fantasmic is just a fantastic Disney show. It's typically how we've always ended our holidays, and it's just a brilliant way to wrap it up. Such good fun. Special effects are brilliant. Tons of characters. It's a really, really nice way to end the day.
Oh, and that's how you always do your last night then, is at Disney World? Is it always finish on a high with Fantasmic?
Yeah, last night at Fantasmic, you're quite often repeating things as you go through the 2 weeks,
yeah.
But Fantasmic is just absolutely brilliant, and it's an absolute banker for a winner.
Loved it. Fantastic talking to you, Ian. Some great tips and some great memories.
Thank you very much. Lovely talking to you as well, Andy.
And have a magical day.
You too, Andy. Take care.
If you want to come on the podcast for a chat about Disney World, then I'm the right man to chat to. Just give me a shout on the socials, on Instagram and X and Facebook, @PodMagical is where we are, on TikTok as well, and Threads, if I remember to update them. If you're going to Walt Disney World soon, well, it's happy holidays, because Halloween's gone now. That's just a distant memory. You've still got one more night of Halloween Horror Nights tonight and tomorrow, I think, over at Universal. But then it's Christmas. Christmas starts in Walt Disney World over the next few days. The first Very Merry Christmas Party is on Thursday the 9th and Friday the 10th. And then Jollywood Nights at Hollywood Studios, their first Christmas party is on the Saturday the 11th. Over at SeaWorld, their Christmas celebrations start on Friday the 10th. And then it's the following Friday, holidays at Universal start. Over at Epcot, the Food and Wine Festival continues. It is also the Food and Wine Half Marathon Weekend this weekend, so it's going to be very busy. Also, clocks go back in America this weekend. Daylight savings time, just be worth to know. Next weekend is a public holiday in America, Veterans Day, so that weekend is going to be busy as well. So if you're going over the next couple of weeks, there's a few things to look out for. And if you're going at any point during the Epcot Food and Wine Festival, which is still on over the next few weeks, here is a top tip. The top tip for this episode is avoid Epcot on a Saturday when it's the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. Flower and Garden Festival similarly as well, but particularly Food and Wine Festival. I found the last few times going to Epcot, actually on any Saturday, it's chaos. It's chaos around World Showcase. So many people now are drinking around the world. It's busy. You can't get to the food stops because there are so many people, so many gangs of people in matching T-shirts. And as the day gets on, the drunker they get. So I would advise you, If you want to do drinking around the world at Epcot, go for it. Do it midweek. But Epcot on a Saturday, I always used to say avoid Magic Kingdom on a Saturday. Magic Kingdom and Epcot on a Saturday, both now. Where can we go? Have it as a pool day. But yeah, it's getting crazy at Epcot at the minute. That's a top tip for this episode. If you've got any top tips, give me a shout. If you want to be a podcast guest, give me a shout. At Pod Magical is where we are. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast as well. We've got brand new episodes every other week. So don't miss them. Hit that subscribe button. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.